from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum in our next hour, acting California Governor Tom Torlakson has declared a state of emergency in Monterey County due to the Sabranas Fire, a wildfire which has scorched over 23,000 acres and continues to spread in the mountains along the northern end of the Big Sur coast. The Sabranas Fire has destroyed 20 homes and forced the evacuation of 300 people so far. We'll get the latest on the blaze, and then at 10:30, playwright and actor Aaron Davidman will join us in the studio. A film based on his acclaimed one-man show, Wrestling Jerusalem, is premiering at San Francisco's Jewish Film Festival tonight. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of this morning's Forum program. Acting California Governor Tom Torlakson has declared a state of emergency in Monterey County due to the effects of the Sabranas Fire, which is raging near the coastline in Big Sur. Firefighters are in their sixth day of battling the blaze, which has destroyed at least 20 homes and prompted evacuations and park closures. And now, unfortunately, we have a reporting of a fatality there, too. A bulldozer operator was killed overnight while on the fire line in Monterey County. And in this segment, we want to update you on the fires and find out what can be done and what's being done. I want to welcome, first of all, Robert Fish, who is Battalion Chief and Information Officer with CAL FIRE. And we say hello to you. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay, and I thank you for joining us. Also thank Krista Almanzon, who is joining us. She's news director at KAZU and has been covering the Sabranas Fire. And welcome to the program, Krista.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. Also glad to have our own Dan Brecky, who's here in studio with us, blogger and online editor at KQED. Dan, welcome.
Hi, Michael.
Hi. Let me begin, Robert Fish, with you. Robert Fish, again, is with CAL FIRE. We're reading now 10% contained and about, 2,200, close to 2,300 firefighters?
Yeah, today we crested over just over 3,000. We're currently at 3,079 total personnel.
And it's at 10% still in terms of containment?
Yeah, the total acreage currently is 23,568 acres with a 10% containment.
And what does the public need to know at this point from your perspective, especially people who might want to be traveling there or doing recreation and the like?
Well, there are closures to a number of state parks from Point Lowlands State Natural Reserve through Julia Pfeiffer Burns State Park, and they're closed until further notice. Also, travelers going to the Los Padres National Forest should make contact with the forest. Their Monterey Ranger District has certain areas that have been closed due to impacts from the fire.
And the cause is still under investigation?
That is correct.
And could you tell us anything more on this bulldozer death that I just saw on the wire from the fire?
Yes. Over the night, a private contract dozer operator passed away due to injuries sustained from some sort of a dozer accident. And we don't have clear understanding of the context or the circumstances, and next of kin notification is currently in process. As those details become more clear, we'll be releasing that information.
Again, Robert Fish with us by phone as Battalion Chief and Information Officer with CAL FIRE. And Kristen Almazan is news director at KAZU, has been covering the fire, the Sabranas Fire. There's been a lot of aerial involvement in this fire, aerial resources, Krista?
Yeah, there have. They've been using helicopters scooping up water from the ocean and also planes that are dropping retardant and foam. But that's also been dependent on visibility. CAL FIRE has told me that sometimes the marine layer is keeping the smoke down, which is making it hard to fly into these areas.
And the high temperatures and the low humidity have been also an ongoing problem. That continues to be the case?
That's what it sounds like, yes.
Yeah. And what about redwoods and sagebrush and all this? What can you tell us?
I don't know much about that. I know, you know, just a little bit from not a homeowner myself, but the homeowner's perspective and homeowners that I've been talking to. You know, for them right now, this is really just a waiting game. You know, many of them can see the fire line from their homes and are just waiting to see what happens because the weather is such a big factor. If, you know, the wind changes, you know, then their home could be in jeopardy, or, you know, it could just stop where it is.
And the cause of this fire is still under investigation?
Still under investigation, yeah.
Yeah. Dan Brecke, what are we finding out here in our newsroom about this fire?
Well, if you look at the fire commander's incident plan, there's a lot of information they're discussing among themselves about the difficulty of the situation. I mean, Krista mentioned the weather. The marine layer, you know, which is what we can thank for our fog along the coast, has been getting steadily shallower each day, and there is a temperature inversion, warm air sitting over heavier, cooler air, that's keeping the smoke very close to the ground. As Krista said, it's making air operations.
We're in spare of the air, aren't we? Now?
Yeah, third straight spare of the air day. The smoke is especially pronounced in the Santa Clara Valley and in the eastern counties, Alameda and Contra Costa County. And it's been a problem as far away as Reno, actually. But so the conditions at the fire are very difficult. And if you've ever the fire started adjacent to a place called Garapata State Park. And if you've ever hiked down there, it's real work to get up from Highway 1, which is where one of the trailheads is, up to the top of the ridge. I forget exactly how much it is, but it's something like 1,500 or 1,800 feet. And coming down, same thing. It's extremely rugged. So this is the country that the firefighters are dealing with. And, of course, they're dealing with having to breathe the smoke. They're having to deal with falling trees. There are daily warnings about the number of trees that are falling, the number of dead, diseased, and dying trees there because of the drought. And, they're up against it, although the winds so far have not been that much of a problem. It's been pretty light winds every day, and that's not expected to change for the next couple of days.
We got to be concerned about the smoke even here in the Bay Area. You said it's all even going to Reno.
Yeah. The ozone levels are unhealthy in the Santa Clara Valley and in eastern Alameda and Contra Costa counties. Sort of moderately bad air everywhere else. It's nothing like it is down near the fire, though.
The ozone levels are very high there.
Yeah.
Let me go back, if I may, Krista Almazan, to you. Can you tell us about the evacuations and what you've observed and what's actually going on that level?
And so about 300 residents have been evacuated. There is an evacuation center set up at Carmel Middle School, and some are headed there, if not to stay, to at least, you know, get some resources and information. You know, a lot of people who live down in this area, they're very self-reliant, and not to say that they expect wildfires, but they understand that that's part of the reality of living out, you know, this deep in the wilderness. So, you know, we've been told that a lot of people have plans set up, so they know people in town who they can stay with. And so that's kind of been the situation with the evacuees. And then, as it often is with these wildfires down in the Big Sur area, there are some people who won't evacuate. I think it's part of that self-reliant mentality.
Let me do this. Questions that many of you have, and particularly about this fire, if you were thinking of traveling down there or whatever, are certainly probably worth your bringing to our attention. And we'd like to hear from you. I also would like to hear from some people down in the area. I mean, what you're experiencing, and you can just give us a report, your own report of your concerns, your anxieties and fears, but also how things have been handled. Let me invite you to join us now. In fact, our toll-free number is yours. It's 866-733-6786, and we do welcome your involvement in the program. Questions or comments? I know many concerned about this whole fire season and the history of the California fire season, but also what can be done, climate impact, many questions that, of course, are continuing to burgeon as they do around this time of year when we have fires like this. But particularly if you're in that area around Monterey and around where the Sobranos fire is or observing it, experiencing it, we'd like to hear from you. We'd like your involvement in the program, and you can join us now. 866-733-6786 is the number to call. Again, toll free at 866-733-6786 or email us forum@kqed.org or go to our website. You can put questions or comments there at kqed.org/forum and click on the segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. And Krista Almazan, what exactly is the state of emergency? What does it mean?
I think the state of the emergency, I believe, is going to open up funding to help pay for fighting this wildfire and the subsequent damage. You know, one thing I wanted to note about traveling down here for people considering it, you know, the Monterey County Sheriff's Office has asked people to stay off Highway 1. And it's kind of a tricky balance, I think, for the Sheriff's Office and really for everyone here, because Highway 1 is a destination in and of itself. You know, people come down here to see the, you know, amazing expansive ocean views. When you drive this stretch of highway from Carmel Highlands and Point Lobos south into Big Sur, you know, the traffic moves slowly and people are always stopping to take pictures. And, you know, as we've covered this fire and gone south, that continues to happen. And so they've asked people to stay off the highway and stay away. But at the same time, saying if you do have business down there and you do want to go support the businesses in the community of Big Sur where this fire isn't, where all the restaurants are, then, you know, go do that. Please go do that. But at the same time, if you're just going to go look at the fire, it's not the best time to be on Highway 1.
And again, Chris Dalmazon is news director of KAZU. She's been covering the Sobranos fire. And we're going to go to your calls forthwith here. I just want to go back to Dan Brecke, though, because I was going to talk about advancements, and we could do a whole show on this, obviously, as far as the science of fighting fires and all that. But looking at a listener comment here that kind of bears on that in a different way, this listener writes, although most of these kinds of fires are nearly always started by humans, accidentally or intentionally, I believe climate change plays a big role in their huge size and destruction. We need more monitoring by all agencies involved to stop these fires as soon as they're detected, especially with all of the advances in satellite technology and video camera monitoring. Absolutely right, isn't it?
I think there's a consensus that climate change is becoming a factor. This was discussed widely last year when especially in the Valley Fire in Lake County, that there were some weather conditions that some people thought may have been due to a change in climate patterns. I think the longer term and actually more immediate thing that we've all witnessed, the drought, which did not end in most places, including the Central Coast, is really what we're seeing play out here, though, right now.
And we'll bring our callers into this. Maya's joining us from Oakland. Maya, your house burnt down?
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call. We just found out last night through a neighbor kind of
so sorry.
In and taking photos. Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying I'm so sorry.
I mean, so many of us. It's definitely more than 20 homes. I would say it's probably close to 50. And these are homes of people that have literally built their homes by their, you know, with their own hands, have put dozens and dozens of years and love into their homes. And I just wanted to express my condolences to everyone else that lost their homes in the canyon. This is an incredible community of people and a major loss.
Well, thank you, Maya. And I'm sorry for your loss. I appreciate it. That is, appreciate your joining us and letting us know. Let me get Justin on next. Justin, join us.
Hey, yeah, I just want to know how bad it is. I'm driving down to actually L.A. right now from San Fran, and I want to know how bad it is and how crazy it's getting.
Chris Dalmazon, how bad is it?
if you're going south toward, you'd probably be on 101 and not take the Highway 1 route just because it's mm-hmm. much quicker on 101. But I think there is smoke inland. In fact, you know, sometimes the smokier areas have been with poor air quality have been a bit away from the Monterey Peninsula, though mm-hmm. yesterday here it was quite peachy and hazy. And smoky, and the air quality was pretty unhealthy, though today it seems fine. But I know inland or King City, Hollister, that it is smoky.
Oh, okay.
Good luck. And
thank
you for calling. I hope we answered your question there. Thank you for that, Kristen. Let me get another caller on from Danville. Liam, morning.
Yes, my question is about the state of air quality overall in California and how it might affect our day-to-day lives going forward and maybe any precautions we can take on days like today in which the air quality is poor in many parts of Northern California.
Yeah, thank you for that question, Dan Brecke.
Well, the Bay Area Air Quality Management District has a simple prescription for responding mm-hmm. to air quality issues when they're acute like today, and that's try not to drive. That's really the one thing that they recommend everybody try to do. If you can avoid things like charcoal barbecue, running your internal combustion lawnmower if you haven't switched over to electric, that kind of things. All those things are prescribed. It's obviously you're asking for longer term. This is something that people ought to discuss in terms of if we are going into a regime of more summertime fires, which have demonstrated severe air quality impacts, what sort of policy responses there might be to that. And I think we're getting there into how the forests themselves are managed.
Dan, talk, if you would. I mean, there's this big sand fire in Southern California. Just give us a sense of how you read California's overall fire season this year. How's it compared to other years?
There's no such thing as a good fire season. I'd say it's, from what we've seen so far, it's less severe. Although we're just getting into the part of the year where we generally see some monster fire starts. And so, for instance, last year, there was a devastating fire that burned for months in the Kings Canyon National Park area, the Rough Fire. The year before that, there was a gigantic fire that burned for months up in Siskiyou County, the Happy Camp Fire. These things burned hundreds of square miles and were only put out by winter rains. And in fact, the one up in Siskiyou and the near Oregon wasn't put out. It relit last summer because there wasn't enough rain up there. So in terms of this year, we haven't seen that monster fire that just takes on a life of its own. Although, these Big Sur fires, there is a history of them. A few years ago, there was one called the Basin Fire that went for months. If you go back to the 1970s, 77, the tail end of a very bad drought, there was a couple of fires that lightning-caused fires that combined and were also historic in terms of the amount of acreage they burned, more than 140,000 acres, and the length of time they burned.
Again, Dan Brecke is a blogger and online editor for KQED Radio, and Krista Elmanzon is news director at KAZU. And question for you from a listener, Krista, what about camping in Santa Cruz next week? Is the smoke really bad there? Should we cancel our trip?
I haven't – when I looked at the air quality information for Santa Cruz today, the air quality was good. But that's, the thing about air quality is that it really varies throughout the day. So, we could start one area good and then it could become unhealthy. And that, so much of that depends on the wind, which we do have a lot here on the coast. So it'll blow the smoke out. I mean, yesterday in this region, it was just, if people took pictures, it looked like you had a filter on it to make it look orange. And today it's not like that. So it's really – day to day.
You want to take the onus of advising this listener, Dan Brecke?
No. No, but
I don't know if they should cancel the trip because of the air quality. Yeah.
The official fire weather forecast, which is coming out of the National Weather Service Bay Area office in Monterey, suggests that we're going to have bad conditions, these continued sort of stagnant conditions through the weekend, at least into the weekend. And then maybe there will be a change as some low pressure approaches the coast.
And I want to bring another caller on here, and that's you. Mary, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Mary from San Francisco, and I just wanted to put out my condolences to people that are fearing the fire at the moment. But I grew up in Southern California, and the caller or the fire person was just talking about the 77 fire. We had a lot of fires back then, and I'm just wondering, even last year with the huge Valley fire that destroyed so many homes and trees, what is the cause? They're not finding the causes, which I find kind of curious, and why are they letting them burn out so long?
Well, causes like this one have to go often under investigation. You don't know sometimes if it was started deliberately or somebody started by accident. That's always a difficult question to answer unless they can get immediate information. But Dan Brecke, what about her second point? There has been complaints that some citizens have registered about, well, things going too slow on the fire front.
Well, again, the...
And by the way, a lot of these firefighters are right now experiencing fatigue. This is a 6-day.
This is a... they've got... Yeah, fatigue is a big thing. They issue daily fatigue warnings. You start to lose your alertness. But listen, the terrain that we're talking about in most of these wildland fires is extremely difficult. What the firefighters are trying to do is almost superhuman in terms of getting a line around it. And that's one emphasis of the firefight. The other one is, frankly, a lot of the manpower will get diverted to structure defense. So when you hear about 3,000 people committed to fighting the fire, that doesn't mean they're all busy building line. Sometimes they've identified residential areas that they put a very high priority on protecting. And when these things go for a long time, it's because that's the nature of it.
This fire has had a lot of struggle for access, too. I mean, just
exactly. There aren't a lot of roads into the region, and some of the roads they have are old bulldozer roads from previous fires.
We go to another caller, and that's you. Frank, you're on.
Oh, hi there. I'd like to give a shout-out to Dan Brecke as an old PVP rider.
Frank.
But also, hey there, guy. But also ask on a state level, have we made any progress on making decisions about cutting back the deadwood or doing controlled burns in the off season? I know in the Park Service, the U.S. Park Service, there's been this no fire burns policy that people are saying creates all this brush and deadwood.
Good question, Frank. Can your old buddy here update you on this?
Frank. Listen, I think this is a policy area. I alluded to it in terms of the air quality. It really gets to forest management. And things are moving, but they're moving slowly. So I just drove through Sequoia National Park. And one of the things that you saw up there is they're advertising the managed burns, the controlled burns they're doing. And they're doing it explicitly to try to clear out understory, the big pile of dead stuff and litter that builds up over decades, and actually try to prevent it from building up. There's a concept of healthy fire that much of the landscape depends on that, and there is an attempt to get back to that. But now we've got hundreds, thousands of square miles of forests that have been burned, for instance, and standing timber still. That's a problem, and it's not being addressed quickly. And we also have an estimated 29, 30 million dead trees in California. That's from a CAL FIRE survey over the winter. And nobody – that's a scale of problem that – is monumental and beyond a single season or even a 10-year plan to deal with that probably.
We are coming up on a break here. We're going to have another segment after we go to our break. But I wanted to go back, Krista Almazan, to you. Just can you talk about how the community has come together? You know, you read a lot about in these kind of disasters how that happens.
Yeah, it's definitely, if you drive down toward the fire area, toward Carmel Valley, you know, the highway has signs that people have made, you know, thanking the firefighters. And then even when I've been out in some of the neighborhoods that are threatened, you know, these neighbors are, they're worried about their homes, but I've seen them, they're coming out and they're bringing coffee to the firefighters. And, you know, I've talked to people who've just, you know, cooking them meals and just making these connections where, you know, the outpouring of concern has been maybe the bright side of this event.
That's always heartening. And unfortunately, we've lost one life in this fire. A bulldozer operator was killed overnight while on the fire line in Monterey. But we will continue to follow this story and hear from you, our listeners, on it. Although we are shifting gears, we're going to in the next segment, we're going to meet a performer by the name of Aaron Davidman, who has a show that was, well, a play and now is a movie called Wrestling Jerusalem. Thanks to Dan Brecke. Thanks, Dan. Good to have you. And thanks to Krista Almazan from KAZU. And thanks to Robert Fish from CAL FIRE. When we come back, you'll meet our next guest, Aaron Davidman. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasny.